your prep wise, what difference does it make to you if they go with Hill or Bradford at quarterback, and maybe you find out at kickoff who they're going with? Does it make a lot of difference to you?
Well, it can't make a difference. I mean, that's why you have preparation. We've taken an approach that we could see either one of the quarterbacks. My understanding is it's probably going to be Sam Bradford, but I have a lot of respect for Sean Hill. I mean, he played very well against us when he was with the Detroit Lions, so we'll prepare for both quarterbacks.
What are the characteristics of Norv Turner offense?
Norv Turner, excellent football coach, has done it for decades. Just the way he uses his personnel, I think he's always done a good job maximizing the particular skill sets of his players. Starts with running the football downhill, the action off of that. And he's definitely a descendant of the digit system and things that have been done historically from Coach Coryell to Ernie Zampezi to Norv Turner.
Mike, we know how loud it was in the dome. Did you have to take extraordinary measures to kind of prepare for a game in that dome? Or just your typical loud crowd road game?
Well, we crank it up. We just, even in our walkthroughs, we have the music up very, very, very loud, and it's part of our preparation. It's significantly different in the Metrodome, but I think you got a number of stadiums that are very loud opponent stadiums, both indoor and outdoor. So it's part of our prep. We really start working noise in the spring now. We're in the past, we'd never really worked it until we got into training camp. So it's a part of our day operation. My understanding is it's going to be very loud in the new stadium. It's supposed to be a very impressive facility. Mark Murphy, I had a chance to visit the facility and had a lot of good things to say about it.
But you have done well off the wall in road games. Is there?
I'm sorry?
You've done very well in those dome games historically. Is there anything special with your prep you think that really pays off?
Well, communication is a big part of it. It's definitely part of the challenge of playing over there. To me, that's not going to change compared to how we had to prepare in prior seasons. But every year is a new year. I mean, they're a different team. We're a different team. We're just focusing on our preparation. I thought our players had a very good preparation week going into Jacksonville, and a number of things that came out of the Jacksonville analysis pointed to a very good preparation. So we're trying to build off of that and emphasizing those things. We have 13 rookies on our football team, so I'm really tailoring a lot of our focus to our young guys.
Will you go over there Saturday to the stadium before you go to the hotel to check things out?
Good question. Well, we will not. Just the fact of the matter is, I know with the roof, the transparency of the look in the daylight is something that would have probably been a concern of mine. But with the night game, I don't think it'll be an issue as far as the, our sight lines and handling the football, particularly our returners. We feel we can accomplish that in pregame Sunday afternoon going over there prior to the game. So we will not practice there Saturday.
Hey, Mike, where's Sam in the protocol? Sam Shields.
Good question. I don't know the levels by heart, but he's still in the protocol. I don't really have an update for you.
Mike, you talk about preparing for both quarterbacks for Sunday. What's the challenge in doing that? How much does that add to your week of preparation preparing for two separate players?
Well, it's part of your personnel evaluation. It's part of your scheme evaluation. Do you tilt towards certain schemes with one quarterback as opposed to another? Those are the questions you ask through the game planning process. But the fact of the matter is it's going to start with giving the ball to Adrian Peterson. And every time we play the Vikings, that's the focal point of our defense.
What did you see of Tennessee's defense? Because they did stop Peterson on Sunday.
Played very well in the run defense. Did a very good job, flew to the football. Really a good football game to watch. And the kickoff return and the two turnovers for touchdowns were obviously the deciding factor in the game. So it's just a reminder of how important the fundamentals of football are. We need to take care of the football. It's something you train each and every day and emphasize, and their defense does an excellent job taking it away.
Can you speak to David's extension and how steady he has been for you at left tackle?
David Bakhtiari, just very happy for him personally. I think anytime you see your players achieve you know, the contract, you know, the financial advancement. It's a great thing for those guys, and I can't say enough about David. When you look for a young man to represent your program and how to go about it, he's done it right every single day from the day he arrived here. He's matured in every which way. He's a true professional at a young age and an excellent football player.
How important is it to have that position locked up and know that you've got your left tackle for the future?
Left tackle, I mean, in my opinion, it's a primary position on offense, so it's very important. I was excited that we were able to get the contract completed.
Jordy Randall and Devontae took the majority of the snaps at receiver against Jacksonville. In your offense, do you like when three guys sort of come out and seize a place and to be those three guys, or would you prefer a big rotation?
Well, six of one and half dozen the other. I think when you have all three players run the way those three guys do, it definitely gives you continuity, consistency, and definitely production. But the fact of the matter is it's a long season. There's a lot of football in front of us, so you do want to find some common ground there where everybody plays. So that's something you're trying to find balance without disrupting the rhythm and flow of your offense.
Hey Mike, back on David really quickly. What do you think of the steps he's kind of made over these last 4 years? I mean, he came in, stepped in last minute, but how he's kind of improved himself as a player, you know, up until to this point now going into the play?
I think David's improved on every front. I mean, you look at him physically. I mean, he's a strong, powerful young man. He's just not a one-dimensional player. Your left tackle historically has to be able to take care of the backside of the quarterback and be a predominant pass protector. But he's an excellent player in the run game. So very smart, very instinctive. So you know, fundamentally, he's improved his understanding of the game of football, the urgency, and just really the intricacies of things you can pick up through communication and identification. He's very bright. He's intuitive. He's an excellent teammate. The offensive line room is a great room, and he had the personality and his place in the locker room. So I think he's improved in every area.
It's been a couple days since Sunday, but do you adjust your practice schedule or intensity at all this week, given how much Sunday's game probably took out of the guys?
Good point, Michael. It'll be adjusted today. If you guys will notice or not, we'll go probably 20. I think it's 19 minutes less than we would go on a normal Wednesday, and we cut the team periods back. So we're very cognizant of what Sunday's game did to our players. You collect the data on Monday and again this morning with the strength and conditioning and our nutritionists and with our medical staff.
Mike, playing in a controlled climate this week, you always talk about how you want to play at a higher tempo, a lot of snaps. Is that the goal this week, to up the tempo a little bit?
Well, it's a goal every week. Just offensively, you like to have as many attempts at the plate possible. I think it's definitely two teams of contrast, just going off of what they did against the Tennessee game, that they slowed it down. Their tempo was slower than I recall in prior years. So, you know, if that's the adjustments they're going through with their offense, or you know, that's really we'll wait to see. But offensively, we want to get the ball in Aaron's hands as much as we can.
Two more, please.
Mike, what are the factors that are involved when there's issues with the play clock on offense?
What are the factors?
There was a couple of times, obviously, this week where it happened. I'm just curious as to, kind of what the process is, because it's something that you want to avoid, obviously.
I'm not sure what you're asking me. What do you mean, what's the process?
Well, I'm just saying, what are the factors that are involved, as opposed to when you get a playoff on time, what are the factors that are involved the few times when it happens, when you either have to take the time out or the five-yard penalty?
I mean, all the factors involved in dealing with the 40-second clock would really fall into the category of communication, whether it's, the official communicating, when he's starting it, the play entry, all those things.
Aaron seemed upset with when the one at the start of the second half. Did you feel that the official had started the clock early at that point?
Well, I think it definitely falls under the category of communication as far as the normal operation that occurs, particularly at the beginning of a half.